Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with opinions, news, and views. On this podcast, we talk about technology topics and how they affect you. I'm your host, Roy Richardson, and each week we will feature an entertaining guest to talk about different topics. Now let's begin the show. Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast. This is episode 6 for those who are counting at home. And the title of this episode is The New Age of Learning. It's a very popular concept these days, in this day and time, where the thought process is that if there's something you don't know, you can learn it very fast. You know, the concept that it takes 10,000 hours to learn things and master any talent is kind of tested when you have this new world where I can go on YouTube and watch a video on how to do something in particular. I'm often looking at videos on how to fix something on a car or a lawnmower or how to do something in GarageBand that I'm not aware of. And there are so many courses, online courses out there now where you can learn to do something that you don't currently know how to do. And for career changers, somebody who's been in one job and suddenly they want to go a totally different direction, you know, this might be an opportunity for them to move in that different direction. And so, you know, it just reminds me of this TV show. It's like Replica or something like that. Alias. No, it wasn't Alias, but it was Replica or something like that. And this guy drove a Corvette. And he was with the, supposedly been like an ex-CIA person. And he would go undercover and help people. And then payment for him. This was during the same time period as A-Team, by the way, in case you're frame of reference for people that want to go way back in the Wayback Machine.
I was going to say, I think the show you're getting at is Knight Rider.
No, it wasn't Knight Rider. Knight Rider had the talking car, no. No, I think it was Replica or something like that. And he had a Corvette. Replica, Corvette, and then he was like CIA agent. Yeah, I looked it up one time on IMDb. I'm just trying to remember what it was. I don't even know. But anyways, what was neat is that the guy, like every episode, would suddenly have to learn how to do something. And or like he somehow learned how to be an airline pilot in one episode because he needed to be undercover as an airline pilot. And but anyway, and the way and the person he would help out would owe him a favor. So under the premise of the show, he'd been doing it for so long that people owed him favors. So when he was trying to do something for somebody, he'd call in a favor from somebody he'd helped previously.
I see.
Yeah.
I think I'm still more in a fan of how we just learn things in the Matrix, where, you know, just pop in the chip, pipe it in, and poof, I'm an instant kung fu master.
I know, wouldn't that be awesome? And we're as close
to that.
That
would be awesome.
We're as close to that as you're ever going to get at this point, you know, I think, because, you know, it's just, you know, your point. I would love to learn martial arts that way. Just have, you know, pop in the chip, and suddenly my brain gets that knowledge put in it. And suddenly, I am a kung fu master who is able to walk up walls somehow.
Yes, exactly.
That was probably the coolest part, is when he walks up the beam and then does the flip. To me, that was just like the coolest part. You know, and then the construct. Yes. I like the concept of the construct. He had the big white room, and suddenly millions of assault rifles pop up and fly in racks up to you, and you grab what you need. So, I don't know.
I think that's how life should work, actually. Like, you walk into your closet, push a button, and then poof, here's, like, everything possible that you could ever want. Pick what you want. The rest of it goes away.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you walk out with your equipment for the day.
And I'll tell you why in some ways. So I'll tell you one of the things that bothers me is that sometimes I feel like I'm an internet bottom feeder. And let me explain that. Because I go to the well that is Google, and I Google something, and I get information I need, and then I go off and I utilize that information, and yet I'm never going out and contributing to the world on something that Google's going to pick up so that people can go out and Google something and I am an expert in and get that information. So it's like taking water from a well and never returning anything back. And so I feel like sometimes I am not a contributing member to the internet society. And so to me, one of the things that drives me, this podcast, for example, is to give back to the internet, to give back information that most people don't know.
So I was about to say, you're giving back right now. What we're doing right now is giving back to the world.
And that's what I want to do. Of course, I will give you an example of where I may give back too much to the world. So I go to a store with my wife, and we're checking out, and the clerk says, "Would you like to get one of our store credit cards?" And I say, "No, I appreciate it. Thank you, though. But store credit cards are bad for your credit rating. They don't look good on your credit rating, so therefore right. I don't wish to ever apply for one." So yes, I'm leaving the store, and my wife's like, "You didn't need to tell him that. You created an awkward situation." I said, "Well, he's young. He needs to know, by the way. Don't apply for your own store's card because it looks bad on your credit." You know? So,
well, at least it's better than like oversharing and being like, "No, I can't get your, I don't want to apply because I know I'd be declined because my credit's bad because, you know, all this crap back in my life, you know, 5 years ago happened and I have witnessed that." So at least you're a step up from there.
No, but I'm full of useless information and sometimes it just leaks out. I have to share it. So, you know. And I've done, one of the things, I've done a lot of research on credit ratings and credit reporting and that type of thing. And, you know, one, how to fix my own credit. And two, for some of my writings that I'm working on that, you know, different things. Hey, I'm actually working on a book called The Young Man's Guide to Getting Old. And so the book goes over things like how to establish good credit, you know, different things that people don't think about, you know, the health benefits of working out and that type of thing. Yes, things that people do think about, but kind of bring into reality, these are the repercussions if you don't do these things early on and maintain these as a lifestyle, because then you will change in the following ways and the following things will happen to you as you age. So, and yes.
Yeah, I mean, people think about working out, but they don't think about it. If I don't work out, you know, 30 years from now and I'm 50 years old, here's what the repercussion of that's going to be.
Exactly. So,
because when I'm 20, I am invincible.
Okay. So, anyway, going back to the whole thing, though, the whole point of this is that it's amazing to me that in this day and time that you can very quickly learn a skill that maybe might not be something that you have done previously. There are many programs such as Ironworks, and which is an outfit where you go and do a 12-week program where they teach you programming skills. It's basically an immersive 12-week course where you learn how to program. And, you know, that's not the only one. There are tons of them out there, all these different websites and different companies that want you to come in, and they'll do a boot camp, and they promise you like a 85% placement after graduation, and you can learn, you know, Ruby on Rails or Java, or you can use Microsoft.net, and you know, or you can learn to be a web developer and learn Node.js. And so there are all these different ways now for people that if they suddenly want to make a drastic career change, then they can go and take a course like that, and you know, 12 weeks later, they're ready to graduate and go work somewhere. And then you have websites like Udemy and Pluralsight that also, not a boot camp concept, but like Pluralsight's a subscription-based model, so you pay a yearly subscription. You can do monthly, I think. And by the way, none of these are advertisers for us currently, so I'm not getting any kickbacks for talking about these companies. I just want to let you know, full disclosure. So
yeah, that's important to know.
It is. Nobody's advertising with us currently, so I can talk about these companies and be open and honest about it. And actually, if you want to advertise with us, please let me know. Contact me at A.Roy Richardson on Twitter, and you can advertise with us, but I will warn you, I'm going to tell it like I see it. Get over it. I'm sorry. If I like your product, I will hype it. If I don't like your product, I will do you a favor and not hype it. So... Anyway, so, and Udemy, you can subscribe to individual courses, and they often have sales where you can go buy courses for $9, and I probably have purchased 35 different courses. And sometimes I'll actually sit down and watch one or two. And it's a CBT-based type learning, computer-based training, CBT-based training. So is Pluralsight. Pluralsight, you subscribe and you have access to all of their courses. And I will say that if you have a goal toward programming, that you may come out a better deal to do Pluralsight, because Pluralsight is very focused on their topics, and their videos go very deep, and they have multiple videos, and they build them in, you know, like, this is intermediate, and this is beginner, and this is the advanced course, and they very much tie it that way. Udemy is kind of focused on a topic, so I want to learn how to do this. And so, like, for example, I needed to know how to do some things in GarageBand that I had not mastered on my own. I couldn't find a YouTube video for it, and so I paid $9 and got a YouTube video to, I mean, not a YouTube video, but a Udemy course to show me how to use GarageBand more effectively, because I use GarageBand to edit lots of audio and also this podcast for one. I use GarageBand, this and Audacity and some other products in order to create these podcasts. And by the way, there is a podcast coming up in the near future where we talk about the making of the podcast. So we'll go into more detail than you could even care.
That will be awesome.
You think so? I don't know. We'll hope so. Anyway.
Yes. It's always fun to, you know, learn how the sausage is made.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you find out, I don't want to eat those anymore. It's not good.
So. Sausage is horrible.
And all the nitrates. Anyway. So, this broadcast does not have any nitrates whatsoever. I just want to let you know. And no artificial ingredients.
And fat-free.
And it should be fat-free, unless you're listening wrong. So, but, Chuck, what do you think about this concept? Do you ever think, I want to reinvent myself, and how do I start? Where do I find the beginning to reinvent myself? You know, have you ever had like a skill you wanted to learn, and you go out to YouTube to try to pick up on how to do a specific thing, and then you think, you know, I want to go much deeper. I want to learn how to do this and that and the other.
No, I kind of like being a skillless, amorphous blob that doesn't know how to do anything. No, I'm kidding. All the time I am Googling how to do specific things that I need to do, whether it's writing a stored procedure in SQL a certain way, or it's trying to optimize a query, trying to learn how to write something in PHP differently or better, manage interpersonal relationships, create better goals, better metrics, anything that relates to my job typically is what I'm going out and trying to find. YouTube is not always, you know, where I tend to go. Usually my bits and pieces of knowledge I'm looking for are a little more specific, a little more maybe narrowly focused than what a YouTube video is typically kind of give you. But if I'm trying to find something that's a little more broad, or I want to learn about a general topic, like what is PHP programming, you know, or what is the overall structure of a stored procedure in SQL, then yeah, I'll go out and use, you know, things like Pluralsight. I've taken courses through them. When I was going out and making courses for online learning content, I was going to lynda.com and taking some courses there on how to better utilize Captivate through Adobe, so that I could, you know, produce my content a little better and learn how to do some of the, you know, more creative like slide transitions and merge in, you know, music with the audio tracks, and, you know, have things sync up and line up a little easier, because the products that Adobe puts out, while they are great tools, they are like climbing a sheer cliff as far as intuitiveness and usability and user friendliness. I'm sorry, Adobe, I love your products and I love you dearly, but someone that just like sits down at the product, oh my God, it's just beating your head against a wall trying to figure out how to use them. So yeah, I went out to Lynda. I went out to, YouTube, and actually that's a lot of where Adobe's help points you to now, is a channel that Adobe curates where not even Adobe employees are publishing these videos. It's community-driven videos that are showing you how to do these different things, teaching you different aspects of the software. So I find that kind of interesting that they're not the ones that are providing and publishing the content, but they're at least, you know, going out, scouring the internet, doing a little bit of work for you and putting it all kind of in one central location.
No, well, yeah, and I totally agree with you. Adobe is not intuitive, but it is the Maserati of creative apps. And so I,
most definitely,
you know, it's kind of like that, you know, those crazy commercial car commercials always talk about, you could be a Toyota, you know, be a Honda, or you could be a car that's like a Honda, you know, Adobe Photoshop is the preeminent photo editing software. Yes, I've used GIMP. I have used lots of tools, and usually I just need to accomplish one thing. And it's okay to find a tool specific to that, but I used to own a copy of Adobe Photoshop. Now it's sold; it won't run on my Mac anymore. But had a full blown version of Adobe Photoshop that I loved. It was awesome, and I could do cool things like fix images and stuff. But when at the time, there was like nothing. You literally had to pay Adobe to learn how to use their products because they had training courses, but nobody out there was really offering that. And now, you know, Lynda and other sites like you're talking about offer these courses out there to teach you how to do something. And I think Adobe, that's a wise investment for Adobe. Probably somebody at Lynda is getting a free copy of Adobe Photoshop or Adobe Creative Suite so that they'll go out and do just that, those videos. Because I think that's, you know, if you do videos to help sell your product, to show people how to do things in your product that makes it easier for them to master, they're going to be more anxious to buy your product. And so I think that's a great PR for them to go that route and to do that very thing.
So. Yep. And, you know, when I look at the industry that's available now for online learning and let's maybe say alternative learning, that being any kind of structured learning that's not going through college, I think a lot of that is kind of a parallel to what you see as like the freemium model of, you know, well, we'll open up, you know, one or two courses of something for free, but then if you want to get all of it, you have to subscribe and pay either as you go, or it's a, you know, a monthly subscription or an annual subscription that you can break into monthly subscriptions, or a lot of how games are being designed now with their microtransactions, where the game itself is either free or very low cost up front, but then to allow you to play it better, play it easier, reduce the roadblocks, you pay little chunks of money, you know, in generally kind of quick succession. So that's kind of how I look at things like Pluralsight and Lynda, where you're taking part of the education that you would get from like college, but instead of having to spend all this money on taking accounting courses and English courses and biology courses, when I want to be a software developer, you can go just straight to the software development, get your education on just that, and move on. I think the downside of that is that what you walk away with at the end is, you know, there's no degree. In a lot of cases, there's no certification that goes behind it. That's not true of all of them, but in a lot of cases, you know, you're walking out with knowledge, but no proof of the knowledge. So when you're, you know, sending out those resumes trying to land a job, it doesn't carry the same weight or impact as, you know, a certification or an actual college degree.
Right. Well, and that kind of goes back toward, you know, so many people now saying that college is not a necessary thing anymore, that you can just as easily start your own business or work your way up through internships and that type of thing. Of course, That goes to the point, I mean, companies are willing to hire somebody that has zero experience to give them an opportunity to learn something. But the point being is that if you have the ambition and the drive and you put yourself in the right place at the right time, that you can accomplish everything you would have accomplished by going and getting a college degree and then taking a similar path without going to school at all. And these boot camps, like I mentioned, Ironworks, there's tons of them, tons of boot camps out there that will do teach you coding in so many weeks. And they're saying, look, you can do this instead of spending 4 years in college or 2 years in college and get that high-paying job right away. And the success rate for those that took it serious and actually did the boot camps, you know, the early reports are, is that this is indeed working for people. I do think in some ways this is kind of like the for-profit universities that sooner or later, if they're not, people are not being done over, they will be done over by these if they're not. Because you can't fit, you know, if you're a square peg, you're not going to fit in a round hole no matter what, you know. Yes, this, you know, they can shave the edges off of you and try to get you in there that way, but at some point you might not be an actual fit. So, but I do think that for the right people, that totally makes sense. Yeah, but then conversely, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the thing that I worry about, you know, if there's too much of an influx or too many people that go that route, there is a reason that colleges want you to have all of these rounded courses. Like, you know, we're going to give you 2 semesters of accounting. We're going to give you, you know, 2 semesters of general business courses and 2 semesters of English courses and 2 semesters of math courses. It's generally because a business is looking to make sure that you understand generally how to manage money, how to communicate with others, and all of these sorts of things. You know, you have to be able to demonstrate all of those abilities and skills kind of in all those different silos if you want to advance up through the ranks.
Right.
So I think the college degree still has merit and value when it comes to that regard. That, you know, if I was looking for a contractor, sure, I would be just as likely to pick up somebody with no degree but can demonstrate to me they are a, you know, master wizard when it comes to coding and writing software and that sort of thing, because I don't care so much that they have the well-rounded breadth of knowledge of, you know, interpersonal skills and, you know, communicating ideas effectively and managing a budget, because that's not why I'm employing you for the moment. I'm employing you for a very narrow focused purpose, and that's to write software.
Go ahead. Yeah, and then these days, now you have colleges, universities that are giving, they're doing open source with their curriculum. They're writing the books to be open source. They're doing the courses as videos and audio, and they're making it available for free to anybody. But if you actually want to get a degree, then you got to pay the money and you got to do the assignments. And so, you know, like the Georgia Tech has a MOOC, which is Massive Open Online Course for a master's in computer science. And I thought about doing that, you know, because my bachelor's degree was in computer science, but my master's is in information technology. And I thought, well, one day I might want to get a doctorate in computer science. Of course, like, you know, you and I were talking, I can't really make that pay for itself. I'll just get the PhD in my name, and that's all I get. It you know, and that's a lot of money for a degree that I can't do anything with. So, but the point I'm making, then, is like Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale and Princeton that are offering these same things, and then computer college. Now, the funny thing that was interesting to me is that I did a couple of my degrees as online courses, but for the longest time, computer science was late to the party as being an online course. You could get courses in, you know, history and English and some sciences, but computer science seemed to be the last thing that went over to online courses, and that was the craziest thing to me. But now, luckily, you know, they finally woke up and schools, oh, we can teach computer science as an online course. I don't know what took so long for computer science courses to come of age that way. But, you know, and there's so many online courses from non-academic places that, you know, where you can learn a skill. And I think this is an amazing time for an information sharing economy.
I agree. I wonder if part of why the software development or the computer science was so late to the party was because there was a concern or risk that the subject matter is too complex, too complicated for someone to grasp without, you know, that kind of mentorship and hands-on, or even, you know, maybe a little worse, that people could just go out and find, you know, examples on the internet of, oh, here's a program that does exactly what I need. So, you know, let me just cut and paste this and hand it in, and well, there you go. And there's no actual verification that you actually wrote, you know, what you needed to get done.
And if you had done a Google search for doctorate in computer science online degree, you would not found any hits whatsoever about 2 years ago. But now that's not the case. I can go out and find there's several colleges and universities, legitimate, not nonprofit colleges and universities that offer online doctorates now. So they do have requirements where you have to come on campus for set number of weeks each year, which I totally agree with, in order to kind of collaborate with others, to work on your dissertation, to meet with your advisors, that type of thing. But it took forever before that was even an option. And so it just was baffling to me that it took so long for that to happen. But yet, you could get a doctorate in nursing online, but there wasn't one. You couldn't get a doctorate in computer science online. I would think nursing probably has a need to be in a facility more so than computer science.
Well, that's probably because that's split into two sections. You've got one where it's the classroom learning. You're purely just there, you know, in front of the instructor learning. And then you've got the back half that's the clinicals, where that you can't do remote. You are going to be in a hospital, a doctor's office, you know, an assisted living place, something, putting those skills into actual practice, learning how to start IVs and give injections and draw blood and perform CPR and, you know, all those sort of hands-on physical things. You have to go through the clinical piece, but there's nothing to say that the regular book pieces of it, you know, the A&P, the biologies, the chemistries, that you couldn't take those all remote.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, the overall point is that we should all strive to be an expert in something, is what I think. I think we all should find that topic, that thing that is our niche, and share with the world that information. See, I mean, for example, you know, I was mentioning about online curriculums that are open source, that type of thing, because I'm teaching in colleges, as I have in the past. Textbooks cost too much. Textbooks should not cost what they cost. It shouldn't be $250 for a book you're only going to use for one class, and when you try to sell it back, they're going to give you $80 tops. And that's insane. You know, I was going to teach a Linux class, and I said, well, I'm going to write the book for this. And, well, you know, what are you going to charge for a book? I said, well, give it away, and you know, you can't do that. Why can't I do it? Well, no, you spent time writing it, and you should want some payment for it. I mean, and I can kind of understand that, but, you know, my thought process is that college students pay enough for education now as it is. Most of them having to go deep in debt to be able to afford a college class, and they need a break somewhere. You know, I might charge like $5 for my book. You know, just because, okay, hey, that, you know, for the time and effort I put into it, you know, but how many copies do I have to sell in order to feel like, you know, because I'm not going for a New York Times bestseller. I just don't see a book on Linux as being a bestseller, unless I figure out a really interesting way to write it. But
you never know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking now, what book could I base my Linux book on? You know, good night, you know, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I'll write it based like that. You know, anyway. So,
Pride, Prejudice, and Linux.
There you go. Of course, they got Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, so it's obviously open for interpretation already. So,
exactly.
Yeah. That's what I need to do. War, Peace, and Linux. Yeah, but that would turn people away.
Oof.
It'd be like an 800-page book, and people wouldn't want that.
Horrifying.
Yeah, so, I don't know. You know, I think Wind in the Willows. Yeah, so it'd be Linux in the Willows. Might go better. And we have the toad known as Crazy Ride, teaching people Linux along the way.
There you go.
Yeah, so. But I think people should master something, and they should go out and they should do blogs, and they should podcast, and they should do YouTube videos and give back to the world. You know, everybody has a different perspective. You and I both could be an expert on the exact same topic, but maybe our method of presenting that topic is different. And so your way of doing it matches somebody's learning style, and my way of doing it matches someone else's learning style. And so sometimes I cover topics that I know others are covered, but I feel like I'm doing it from a different perspective. And so therefore, you know, it's another way of telling the same story, and people pick up on more, hopefully, because of the way I told that story.
Yeah, I guess I'm still searching for what I'm a master on and what I would want to contribute out to the world. I haven't figured it out yet.
Well, you know, I think everybody's got to find that. You know, I'm still looking for my niche. There are things I enjoy, and I guess I'm trying to decide, are the things that I enjoy my niche or just something I have an interest in? And I, unfortunately, I'm interested in so many different things that it's hard to pick just one. It's kind of like, but there's all these flavors of ice cream. Why would I want to just have vanilla all the time? Sometimes Rocky Road's the way to go.
It is. Yeah, I guess I suffer from that a little bit, where, you know, I'm interested in helping people with being a better leader, being a better mentor, developing what their goals and desires in life are. You know, I'm interested in gaming. I like, you know, software development from a distance, but, you know, I want to know enough about it so that I can understand it and use the outcome of it to make businesses better. So, you know, I like process improvement and continual improvement, and, you know, there's a lot of different things that I like, but picking one area, it to me, it feels like I'm trying to pick a favorite child, and that's hard.
Well, no, I agree. But I think about, what do I want to be remembered for when life is over? Of course, I saw an interesting thing. I don't even remember what it was. I was watching something, and this guy said, "Oh, it was." Are you familiar with his country music artist named Vince Gill? He was. Basically saying that he didn't set out to make money. He set out to do what he enjoyed and perfect what he did. And at the end of the day, he would much rather be thought of as a nice guy and a good person than to be thought of as a rich person.
I can totally get behind that. I would much rather be thought of as, or remembered as, a conscientious person and a nice person, someone that made a contribution to society and to people's lives, more so than, you know, oh, he was, you know, a millionaire when he died, or, you know, something like that. To me, it's not so much about the money, because the money isn't what makes you happy. It's the contribution to others. It's pushing the rock forward that tends to make people the happiest.
I agree. I'm not rich yet, but I feel like I'm pretty happy. There are still things I plan very much to accomplish in my life, and you know, money is not a driving factor for me, and never has been. I want very much to you know, to find happiness and, you know, go that route. And that's, you know, that's what I want to do. And I want my happiness to be that I've done something that the world appreciated and liked and was glad I did it.
And I think that there's a larger push in the generation that's coming up to do exactly that. That, you know, I don't want to just go to work and have, you know, a job that makes me tons of money and I still hate myself or my life at the end of the day. That I want to do what makes me happy. If it, as long as I have enough money to live, great. I would rather have a fulfilling job than be successful. If those two have to be in different camps, and it's an interesting thing to watch, and I like how things are going in that direction, and I think that shift is why we're seeing more like online courses, more online learning, more narrow focused learn a skill. Because then if someone says, you know what, I want to do this very specific thing. I want to do, you know, gardening, and I want to plant, you know, gardens in city centers, and that's what I want to do with my life. You can go out and you can learn how to be a gardener. You no longer have to go to college and dedicate, you know, 4, 6, 8 years to learning how to be, you know, a master's of botany or, you know, whatever, to go pursue a dream. You can go find enough knowledge specifically around what you want to do and then go do it. You know, that's, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
No, I agree. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome. And I, you know, I want to be a sharer. I want to share the good times and what little knowledge I have with the world. I think that's going to be an awesome, you know, that's the way I want to end. People, I want my life to end where, and you know, it's funny. I don't want a tombstone when I die. My thought process is that if I am not remembered for what I did, then I don't want this piece of rock or marble or whatever, granite, to be the piece that's the only reason I'm remembered at all. I'd rather be completely forgotten if I did nothing of any merit that didn't move the world forward in some way to where people want to remember who I am.
Yeah, I can get behind that. A friend of mine and I were walking through a cemetery yesterday, just taking a walk because the weather up here was finally nice. And we were talking a lot about the different types of tombstones that there are and the different ways they're, you know, kind of put together with the phrases. And, you know, some people put these really elaborate pictures on there that are either etched in or they have like a photograph carved into and encapsulated into the marble. And we're like, you know, people spend all of this money on this tombstone that in, you know, 50, 60 years, nobody's going to remember, nobody's going to care about. And when we started walking into the older section of the cemetery, people that had died in the like 1920s and 1930s, you know, those tombstones were all chipped and weathered and nearly destroyed from neglect, and there were no flowers on any of those tombstones. And it's a very stark reminder that, you know, history and life moves on past you. You know, having a little piece of stone that says I lived is kind of pointless. You know, there should be more that makes people remember you and know that you existed than a little, you know, 4x4 stone marker on the ground.
So I'm actually, I want my ashes scattered on the Appalachian Trail, since that's probably the closest I'll ever come to finishing it. So I'd love to hike the entire thing, but it's just not going to work out for me. So anyway,
you can do it, Roy. There's time.
I'm going to try. I'm still going to try. But, you know, that's just the way I feel about it. And so here's, you know, if this podcast mysteriously turns into an amazing thing and people get something from it, awesome. or if my blogging turns into an amazing thing, or things I post on YouTube wind up being an amazing thing, or if I accidentally write a book that somebody wants to read. Whatever that thing is, that's what I want to do. I want to contribute some way to society, this, on a philosophical level, some knowledge that someone else doesn't have, or I want to explain a technology in a way that nobody's explained it before, so that people can take my information and move forward and give freely. Of course, somebody argued me and said, you shouldn't give away information for free. People should pay for everything.
I'm more in that camp of the Star Trek dystopian future where money is a horrible idea. You should just be able to contribute and, you know, exist and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, you know, that's the hope as well. Yes. So. All right.
So then as our final point here, that you should go find knowledge wherever and however you can find it and be a positive contributing force in the world.
Yes, that's the whole point. Go out, don't be a bottom feeder, go and share your knowledge with the world and make the world a better place. And if you don't feel like you know anything, there are tons of ways to go out and take a course and learn how to do something. And maybe you've sat on the fence thinking about learning something and you haven't taken that bold step of going the next step. There are so many ways, inexpensive ways even, for lots of things to learn new things to move yourself forward. Maybe you want to learn, you know, some type of art. Maybe it's music. Whatever you want to learn that you want to be a skill that you master in life, go and seek it out. Somebody out there has shown the way. And then once you learn, take that knowledge and make your indelible mark on the world.
That's right.
That's what I think. So, all right. I think that's it for this week. You've listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. This is episode 6 for those counting at home. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week. And that's the end of the show. Okay, let's come.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Look for other episodes of our podcast coming to a podcast universe near you.